things come against you, you can say, I'm not taking this sitting down. And you rise up in the power of God. I think that's what the message was of these women dancing. They were not only saying, God, we're with you. They're saying, we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it from the adversary. We're not just victims here. We're not just going to be pushed around. We're standing up. Now, I'm going to pray for anybody who needs healing. If you need healing, you can come up right here. I'm just going to pray for you as a group, not for individuals right now. Some of you actually were receiving some healing as you were dancing, and some while you were listening, and others of you will receive healing when you are taking Seudat HaMashiach, the meal of Messiah. Lord, I thank you that you are the God who heals us. Adonai Rofe, you are the Lord, our healer, our physician. You are our doctor. You are the one who can do for our bodies every good and perfect thing. Not only did you create us, not only did you make us, not only did you knit us together in our mother's womb, but you have the power, God, to heal the sick. You have the power to restore sight, to restore hearing. You have the power to fix parts of the body that have been wounded, that have been harmed. And we ask, O Lord, that you, who are all-powerful, would pour yourself out on those who are standing before you, that you would show yourself mighty to them and faithful to them. Lord, I pray for healing of arms and legs, of joints and ligaments. I pray, Lord, that connective tissue, which is so hard and so slow to heal, would heal strongly, quickly. I pray for healing of necks. That you would allow your children to stand upright without pain. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. If your eyes need healing, lay your hands on them. Not just if you wear glasses or something like that, but if there's a sickness in your eyes. Lord, I pray that you would heal the sight of your children. For those whose eyes are in trouble, that you would bring your healing. Some of you have pains in your neck, long-standing pain, even from injuries or accidents. Put your hands on your neck if you have problems there. Lord, I ask for your healing now in the name of Yeshua, that you would heal, that we would not be stiff-necked but limber-necked, that we would have flexibility in our necks, that we could turn our head to the right and the left to see, even though we would walk straight in your path. If your feet are injured, lay your hands on your feet right now. You may have to bend down or sit down to do it. That's okay. Whatever it takes to reach. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of the ones who bring good news. Lord, let these feet be lovely. Let these feet which are injured be healed. Let your sons and your daughters dance for joy. Thank you. with your kidneys, just reach back and lay your hands on them. Lord, I pray for healing of kidneys now in the name of Yeshua. I pray for bleeding that would stop, and that you would renew the filtering and purification of the kidneys. In the name of Yeshua.
If those of you that are standing here would just sit down. I want to call another group in a minute, and I want it to be clear who's coming to have just a word of encouragement for something else. In the last 2 days, David and I both had some dreams that were really disturbing, but as I have been here all through the service today, this service has like been really orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, and I think it's no accident that our word today was Ruach HaKodesh, and the Holy Spirit is really there for us to rescue us, to heal us, to care for us in every kind of difficulty and situation. And David and I both had dreams where only the Holy Spirit could make a difference, could rescue. But I had two dreams, David had one, and all three of these dreams that we've had the last 24 hours, we had to do something first. It took initiation. It took understanding a situation. It took courage. It took boldness on our part. Just what little I know about David's dream, he had to go into a house in a fearful situation to rescue, to cause something to be put into order and to be accounted for. In one of the dreams I had, I came in here tonight just thinking, like almost afraid, like I was afraid because of things that I had dreamt about. That there had just been a darkness, and in this dream I was just feeling all over the wall for a light switch that turned, didn't flip. And I finally found this light switch and I turned it, and it's like that shut everything off instead of turned it on. And it wasn't, then I was looking for someone in this dream to come and help me. I was waiting for David to come and help me. Also in the dream, I saw a young man from Ukraine that I consider a real spiritual son. I thought he was going to come and help me. But the bottom line in all of these dreams that we had, and in our reality, in fearful situations, in dire situations, in dreadful situations, we have to take the initiative to call on the name of the Lord. And tonight, Eric said, let the light come into those dark places that we've not wanted the light to come into. Another time, that phrase was calling on the name of the Lord was going through my mind, and I was thinking about these dreams. David said these exact words. So I sat here thinking, well, this has already been laid out for us in the service. Do I need to emphasize this? And I felt like the Lord said, yes, there are times when we need one more chance to stand with Him. We need one more chance to rally that courage. So I'm just going to have a really simple prayer. Those of you that need boldness and courage, please come forward. For any kind of situation, any kind of situation, in your sleep. I needed courage in my sleep last night, and in one of my dreams, I was totally without courage, and I was facing a terrible situation trying to rescue someone. The Holy Spirit wants to be there for us in every situation. in every situation. But like this last song tonight, rise up, stand up, champion the name of our Lord, of our God, the God of Israel. So I just, Lord, ask you to just look down tonight and see these people standing here. They love you. Everyone here, Lord, loves you. But the people that have come forward here standing in the front of this room, and there are others I know that are standing up in their hearts. They're standing up at the worship team. They've come forward. They're leading us. Lord, we ask for courage and for boldness. We ask that you would give us that courage to respond at the moment, those moments when we need you, when we need to cry out to you, when nothing else will do, Lord, when the light of day isn't enough, when having someone by our side isn't enough, when having the doctor there isn't enough, Lord, when having the policeman there isn't enough. Lord, we ask that you would show us how to have that kind of courage and boldness that we can just call on the name of the Lord in every situation. Lord, in our waking hours, in our sleeping hours, Lord, in our prayer life, at our work, as we drive down the road, as we walk by the way, Lord, may we be a people that stand in your presence. May we be a people that recognizes your Holy Spirit and rises when you're in our midst. Lord, we thank you for the sensitivity of the worship team and of the leaders here in this congregation. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit would orchestrate this event tonight, this evening, so that we could call on your name, that we could stand in your presence, that we could emphasize how dear and close your Holy Spirit is to us, how much we need your Holy Spirit. And we just say again, come, Holy Spirit.
To your Holy Spirit, who is filled with boldness and who is filled with courage, and that as we have fellowship with your Holy Spirit, that you would impart to us your nature and your character. I pray for these who are standing here who need more boldness and who need more courage, that they would realize that it won't arise up from nowhere. It will arise from the time they have with you. Because you are bold and you are afraid of nothing. And your nature is to be strong and to be certain. And when we draw close to you and we fellowship with you, the things that belong to you, the things that are yours, your character rubs off on us. And it doesn't just touch us on the surface. It penetrates. It changes us. Changes our nature, changes our emotions, changes our mentality, changes our attitude, changes our character. Thank you, Lord. These who are standing, that they might seek you and find you, because they're seeking you with all their heart and with all of their soul. And then in turning to you, they might find you. Thank you. I want to tell you one detail about my dream in the middle of the night. there was a fearful situation. It wasn't so fearful because there was any harm that would come to me. It was fearful because an awful thing was happening and something needed to be done. And it wasn't even clear how to do it, but I found myself in this dream, in this situation where I had to do something. And I had to face an evil person who had just done terrible evil. And even though I was sleeping, I was feeling in my body the same sensations I would feel as if I were really in that situation. And all I could do was pray in tongues and pray in the Spirit. And I started praying in my dream, and I was aware I was dreaming and praying in the Spirit. And then something happened. I was awake praying in the Spirit. And I don't know that I was praying for that exact situation that I saw in the dream, but I was praying for something like it. And you know what? The fear that was moving through my body dissipated. And my tone of voice changed. This isn't the first time things like that have happened to me, and maybe it's happened to some of you too, where God brings you into the realm of the Spirit even while you're asleep. And He does that. That's what our Bible teaches us that. And we learn how to respond to it. And when I woke up, I had this thought like, oh, I'm glad that's over. And then I realized, but it's not over. And so I had to continue in it. And I'm sharing this with you so that you know one thing, that there are times when there is no other way, no other solution other than to pray in the Spirit, by the Spirit, that God Himself will take responsibility to use you if you will accept the responsibility to be used. And He will empower you, but you have to say yes yourself. And you can go back to sleep, or you can say, that's a nasty dream. And you have no idea what's happening if you do that. You may not have the answer, even if you submit to God. But it may be that God was looking for someone who would pray for something else happening across the world. And He found you. And you were used by God for a person you will never meet and never know, in a situation you will never be aware of. You don't know and you don't need to know. But the Holy Spirit in you does know. And what He opens up to you, He opens up. What He keeps hidden, He keeps hidden. And the only question is, do we want that kind of boldness so that we're not only bold enough for our situation, but bold enough for the situations God is trying to get into for other people who cannot fight for themselves? This is the question. This is the question. And if the answer is yes, then you're in the right place, because this is Shabbat Nachmu, the Shabbat of comfort, where the people all over the world who are trusting in God are commanded to speak comfort to Israel and to Zion, and to say, you have been fighting for yourself and you don't have to fight alone, because your time of warfare is complete and others will fight for you. And the prophet Isaiah says, you're to do something. You're to rise up and to lift up your voices, to lift up your voices and to not be afraid, and to speak good news to Zion and good news to Jerusalem. You're to lift up your voice and to speak comfort. And do you know that there is one in the Bible who is called the Comforter? Menachem. You know who he is? The Holy Spirit. And so what you get from him, you can give out to other people. And if you don't get it from him, you're just going to have to give it out from yourself, which is usually not enough when people need a supernatural breakthrough and the power of God. If they just needed you, it'd be okay. So I'm just going to ask you this question. You want to put off fear so that you can be used by God for the benefit of other people and others, not just yourself. Because I tell you one thing, in God's economy, if you take that position, he will make sure you get the benefits too. He will. Just lift up your hands and say, Lord, here I am on this Shabbat Nachmu, this Shabbat of comfort. And I want to have fellowship with your Comforter, with your Holy Spirit. I want to know your Holy Spirit, Lord. I want to have intimate conversation with your Spirit. I want to be used by your Spirit. I want to be full of your Spirit.
Many of you here know the trials I've recently been through. And Rabbi, many of you have been with me through them. And tonight I was here and I had this feeling, this impulse to intercede for you. And this voice, this liar said, you are just being arrogant. And I shrunk back. The backs of both of my arms felt like they were on fire. I thought these two ladies had lit matches on the back of my arms. And I said, no, that wasn't my arrogance. That was the Holy Spirit that said, intercede for your brothers and your sisters, your loved ones who have interceded for you. And I turned, spread my hands, and prayed for you in the Spirit. And this man of God here is leading us to fellowship with the Spirit. But those things we feel are of the Lord. And the enemy will try to steal those things from us. But we have to act on them in faith and in strength and not shrink back. Because there are people out there that are going to be blessed by each of us. And so many have blessed me here. So I thank you and I love you. And I have to say this word, and I love you, Rabbi.
See, here's the testimony of a man who needed others standing with him, saying, I'm ready to stand with others. A few of you were hearing Brianna earlier tonight, and you said, you know, I want whatever it was that she's got. And if you were one of those, you can go over to her right now. While we're doing the other things that we're doing, she's just going to pray for anybody that had that little voice going off in their head saying, I sure wish I could get some of what she's got. So you can pray for them, Brianna. Can I read to you these words of Yeshua? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. And he will give you another Comforter who will abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, because he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Now let me read to you these words of Isaiah. You who bring good tidings to Zion, get up into the high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then these words from Moses. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, because you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant in mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. Some of you are in turmoil, and the only thing you really need is the experience of the love of God. And you may know about it, and you may be able to tell people about it, but you need the arms of the Lord around you and that experience of his closeness and his care and his intimate concern for you. And it's not because you're so good or because there's so many of you. There's only one of each of you. Thank goodness we're all unique. It's not because you did something that's better than somebody else, and so now he's singling you out. It's because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he loves you, and he loves you. And where it says that you need to know this, you need to know these things, it doesn't mean you need information or you need to be able to tell someone this. It's you need the force of his love to impact you. We were just with our daughter and her family, and I can tell you this, every grandparent knows this, you don't want to give a lecture to grandchildren about love. You want to love them, and you want them to love you. You don't want them to be able to intellectually and rationally and academically describe love to you. You want them to love you, right? And so it is with God. He wants to love you, as ornery as you may be, as hard as it may be for you to receive that. And so you may need to lay your hands on wherever you got resistance to his love, to the experience of his love. It may be right here. Like, I don't like hearing it. It may be, I can't see it. It may be up here. My head hurts when I think about this. It may be my heart doesn't work right. when you're talking about God's love. It may be in your stomach, like you get butterflies or you want to throw up or something. It may be that you don't want anybody to know that you struggle with this and you're like pretending. Put it off. Put off. Put off that. When you came into the new covenant, you were invited in to be children of God and to be family. And you were received even though you had the DNA of his enemies. So he could rightly say, when you were enemies, I loved you. And he called you to himself, so you were like prisoners of war. First, you were held by the enemy. Then you were prisoner of war in God's camp. He captured you. And then he was looking for one thing. Will you surrender and pledge allegiance to his authority? And when you say, yes, God, I'm on your side now. I'm in your family. Then you are supposed to open up your heart to receive the love of God. To receive it. To receive it. To keep being full of the love of God. Lord, I pray in the name of Yeshua, who loves us, our good shepherd, who calls us by name and whose voice we hear because we are his sheep. I pray now, Lord, that you would fill up the hearts of your children with the love that is pure and from you. And I speak against every lying spirit that would say, you don't belong to God. You're not worthy. Every spirit that would mislead you and lie to you about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. Lord, I pray your blessings on your children, that your children would put off all hopelessness and despair that comes from doubting and questioning your love. That we would be renewed with hope. I pray for courage and boldness to approach your throne. I pray for the gift of repentance that leads to life. This is really interesting. I didn't really have plans for anybody else to speak. And no, you don't need to apologize. I'm going to explain something. The underlying text that's been motivating me all week is, you will be my witnesses. You will testify. You will speak. And so that's sort of what's happening. Right? Amen.
Hey, everybody. Speaking of Yeshua,
you want to stand up here so we can see?
I would love to stand up here. That's been my dream.
Your dream. Eric's so, awake and having his dream fulfilled.
So we're talking about Yeshua, right? And we come up here for boldness and courage and whatnot. And I was standing here, and Clark was, you know, praying over us. Sandy and David were doing their cool thing. And I was looking at this podium. And you know how long we had this podium? Forever? I've been here going here like 6 years. Or yeah, forever, right? Before the foundations of the world. So I was staring at it, and I was looking at the name Yeshua, and you know how it's in the Magen David, the Shield of David. And I was listening, you know, don't think I wasn't paying attention, but I kept thinking about the song, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the lift around my head. And by the way, my hands are so sweaty, this thing's about to slip out of my, like a wet bar of soap. But my point being, I don't normally do this kind of thing, but I really felt compelled to the point of, like, Clark. I felt, you know, like I had a match, but it wasn't on my shoulders. It was somewhere else. And the Lord is a shield for us. You know, I mean, this podium, it has Yeshua right there in the shield because Yeshua is a shield for us. And it's that sort of thing where, you know, we come here to pray for boldness and courage, and I don't have a lot of it where I need it, you know, like when I'm under attack. And I don't go looking for trouble. You know, I'm not an idiot, but trouble finds me because I'm a believer, and, you know, the enemy knows my name and times and he wants to keep us down. You know, he can't steal our salvation from us, so you can steal our joy. You're not going to do that. So I guess my point is, we can be bold, but it's not the boldest of an idiot. You know, it's, you know, like when Satan said to Yeshua, hey, you know, God will send his angels to get you. Great. Okay. Then jump off. You know, he's not going to honor that, but sometimes we do fall down and sometimes we're under attack, and it's not like we should go out looking for attacks to, you know, get us. But at the same time, we can go boldly into areas where we're not comfortable, but not in our own power, because the Lord is our shield, not our hands. You know, I mean, it's the shield of David. David didn't get a shield and sit on the couch, you know, watch Lost or anything. I mean, he was kicking butt. So it's like, I don't know. I guess I don't really know where to go from here. My point being that, right.
That it actually took boldness for you to come up here, right? Next.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny what he said about testimony, because I really felt compelled to give a testimony. And it's actually, many of you know that we have a puppy. And I felt compelled because there's someone here that needs to know this testimony. I don't want to cry. I always cry. I don't know why. She was actually supposed to be a gift from my mom, and when I got her, the very day that we got her, she started throwing up and continued to throw up, and the vet thought it was worms and all kinds of different things. We found out that it was actually something that she had to live with for the rest of her life, and it was called megaesophagus, where her esophagus was enlarged and couldn't hold down food. And I had been going through a time where I saw many people that I prayed for, didn't get healed the way I thought they should. But I felt like God said, let me back up for a minute. When I took her to the vet said that her esophagus was enlarged and that she was going to try to do exploratory surgery and see what the problem was. And it's kind of involved, but when she got done with the surgery, she said what she was looking for wasn't there. And she said, we'll try to give her a liquid diet and let her hold it down. Well, she spent the weekend with the vet, and the vet said, I can't do anything. She said, I just think that you should put the dog down. The dog was 13 or 14 weeks at the time, and the dog was just bouncing with life. When she did the surgery, she went in there the next day, and she said, if I had not done the surgery, I wouldn't have believed it. She said, because I thought the dog would have been dead. But she said the dog was just bouncing around like she never had surgery. But she was telling me on the phone, put her down. And the Lord saying, no. And I kept saying, but God, she's saying she's the vet. Put her down. He said, you stand for what I said. And he told me that she's your home. I've given you authority. And for several weeks, I stood. And many of you who know me, she almost died many times. And I kept crying out to God and speaking life over her and claiming life. Rabbi prayed for her. Kevin Hunger, I brought her in here because I needed people to pray and stand with me. And then finally one day I called Kenneth Copeland because I thought, you know, I need somebody else to kind of stand. And they said, but you've prayed already. You've asked God already. Now start thanking him. Don't ask him again. He heard you the first time. Now stand. And so from that point on, I mean, I was like, I heard that before. So I started standing, and every day in the face of death, that dog had almost died so many times. I mean, my husband came out one day. It was a day that we were closing on our house, and the dog was dying. And I'm just standing there just claiming life, but hysterical, because I'm watching her die and gasp for air, but I kept claiming life. She was 2.5 pounds. 14, 15 weeks, about 4 months, she started gaining weight. It was like the week after Mother's Day, I kept crying out to the Lord, and I wanted to go away and to kind of get relief, because this was like clockwork. My husband and I were taking shifts, sleeping on the couch and just sitting with her, but I knew that I had to do this. I knew I had to stand in the face. face of death for her, for God to prove to me that He is God and that He does do miracles. If we will stand in the face of death, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what people say, we have to stand. And I did. And the weekend after Mother's Day, I kept praying that I wanted to go away and see my grandma's 80th birthday. And I said, Lord, I just want to go. I just want to be refreshed. I want to be with my family, but I can't leave my family with the burden of this dog. So could you just please be healing? And he did. He completely healed her. There's times when she will throw up occasionally, but God said, you'll see by the time she's a year old, the full manifestation, but keep standing. And now she's like 10 or 12 pounds. And she is full of life. So I know that was for somebody to stand in the face of death and hold on.
That's good, Charlene. We're going to take Seudat HaMashiach with this in mind. All of you who are up here, if you believe that Yeshua is Adonai, that He died for your sins, that He was raised from the dead, if you can call Him Lord Adonai, then you have a right to participate in this, and you're going to help a little bit. We've never had a lot of people serving. It usually only takes 2 to 4. But I'm going to let each of you who's up here serve somebody else who's not up here. So I don't know how to do this. Clark will figure that part out. Okay. 2 cups?
We'll do the bread.
Okay. They'll need a couple of pieces of bread, too. Okay. You got something going. Yeah. It's all right. It's matzah. It's, you know what it is. Okay. So you're going to get a cup, 2 cups, and some matzah. Ethel, you can be a matzah lady. That's right. Nobody eat until everybody has and we've prayed together. Okay, we need another matzah person, another cup person who can hold these and make sure you're heaven. Make sure everybody gets. Here, can I have one too? Yeah, and make sure the worship team also gets a cup and a piece of matzah. And I want to speak to everybody who is here this simple word, affirming what Charlene was talking about, that God is the God of resurrection and that He can bring life to what is dead or should be dead or has already become dead. And there are times when the Lord will give to you this awareness that something that's dead can be alive again. It can be in a relationship. It can be physical. It can be a situation. And you've wondered what to do about that situation. And what you really need is resurrection life. You don't need business as usual. You don't need continuity from the past. You need a break with the past. And you need the power of resurrection. When we take the meal of Messiah, Seudat HaMashiach, we are affirming the power of resurrection life. Now, one word to everybody. There are a few things to do if you want to be a participant in resurrection life. One of them is you've got to know in your heart Yeshua is Adonai. If you don't know that, then resurrection life is not really working inside of you yet. And you've got to then speak it with your mouth, because that which you know to be true has to be strong enough in you that you can say it out loud to God, to yourself, and to others around you who need to know. And then you need to repent of your sins, and you need to ask for God's forgiveness, and He will freely give you forgiveness because of your confidence in the sacrifice that He made through His Son, Yeshua. A sacrifice for your sins. And then, continue and be immersed in water. Make tevilah. And be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Be submerged in the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit so that you get filled up and empowered by the Holy Spirit Himself. These are the things that are all part of a new beginning. And then find your place in the Kehillah, the congregation that God has for you to be a part of, and start using your gifts from the Holy Spirit for the good of other people. Start learning the scriptures, start praying. And you know, if you do all these things, you will grow to be strong no matter what age you start. No matter how long it took you to get to this point, no matter how little you knew beforehand, you will grow strong if you do these things. Every time we take this, we're looking at this matzah and we're saying, you know, this is matzah. But Yeshua held this up and said, this is my flesh. And we look at this cup and we understand this is a cup of grape juice, the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua lifted up a cup not like this, a nicer one, and a bigger one at Passover, and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is the cup of my blood. And we're told that by examining ourselves and making sure we're right with God, that we've confessed our sin, that we've turned away from our sin, that we're not hiding these things from God, but we openly confess, then He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we know also that these who faithfully take of the matzah and the juice of the new covenant find the healing power of God many times working in their bodies. We know these things from the scriptures and from our experience of these things, which are true. And so we're saying to God, I'm in the new covenant now. I'm in the new covenant. I want everything that belongs to the new covenant. I'm your disciple, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to follow in your footsteps and in your ways. That's what we're saying. Lift up your matzah. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. In old Hebrew, the word lechem means not only bread, but flesh. Who brings up the flesh from the earth, the God of resurrection. Thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead and give to us resurrection life also. Lift up our cups. In old Hebrew, one of the ways you could say grape juice or wine is to say the blood of grapes. Lord, we thank you that you poured out your blood, that we would have a sacrifice, an atonement for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that you have purchased us and you have redeemed us and we now belong to you. Blessed is the name of the Lord who has redeemed us from the hand of the adversary. Thank you, Lord, that you have purchased us with the price of your own Son's life. And you give to us now resurrection life because of him. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam v'rei pri hagafen. And blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. You can pass your cups into the center. Ushers will come and collect them. So now we have two things to do. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing, and then some will go have Oneg, and some will watch what Brianna has to show us. Would you stand up, please, with family and friends, no one by themselves. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Zhenya's 50th birthday party, together with the Russian ministry, come join us as we celebrate 50 good years. Tomorrow morning, Shabbat service, as we bring out the Torah and read from God's Word. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisar Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep watch over you and protect you, because He is the shield of Abraham and your shield. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.